The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us as we continue with our study of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to get into that in just a few minutes, but boy, have I got some exciting announcements to talk about this week. We've got some great things happening with SpeakFaith.tv, and we've got another an exciting project, probably the most exciting project that we've had here at Word of Faith Ministries, I think, wow, since probably our satellite days when we believed in a satellite system. Now, that particular system was a giant 13-foot satellite receiving dish that we could receive satellite programming on for our local church at that time, back when I was pastoring in Healing Springs, North Carolina, and we had Healing Springs Faith Center. I was pastoring at the time, and I tell you what, we had a great bunch of folks working with us there in the church, and we had a major, major faith project of $10,000 or more. It might have been even closer to $12,000 time it was all over with, to believe in a satellite dish. And that was back a long, long time ago, 25 years or more ago, that we had that faith project. And the Lord has blessed us to be able to do this program, the Word of Faith Netcast, with very little outlay of actual cash, all right? But I tell you what, we've got an opportunity, an amazing, supernatural opportunity that I would love for you to be a part of. And I'm not saying this lightly. This is an opportunity that is just beyond what we could ask or think in some ways. And I'll explain it this way. As you may or may not know, we use a small, inexpensive HD video camera, a little camcorder, to record this netcast. That's what I'm using right now. And then we've got some special lighting here in the studio that I'm using. Well, we have the opportunity to get three professional video cameras, full HD, 3CCD. Now, I know that doesn't mean a lot to a lot of folks, but some of you that are videographers and folks that know about the video industry, you know that a 3CCD camera is so much better than a single CCD camera like I'm using right here. And it is full-blown professional quality. It is the level of quality that we would need if we wanted to go on a regular broadcast TV station. We can get three of those cameras. Every one of those cameras are something on the order of $3,000 to $4,000 a piece. Three of those cameras, a switcher to switch between them, all the additional equipment, a specialized computer interface and computer to go with the entire system that would normally cost $25,000, we can get it for $7,500. Now, it is very low mileage. In other words, it hasn't been used that harshly. It's not like it's been out banging around in a van, you know, while a news crew uses it. No, this was used in a church. It was purchased brand new for a church, and it has been used very little, and we have the opportunity to get it for $7,500. Now, what I'm asking you to do, and I'm serious about this, prayerfully consider supporting this faith project to purchase this equipment for $7,500. I'm going to put the address here at the bottom of the screen right now, and if you see the vision for this, if you sense in your spirit that you want to be part of this effort to purchase this video equipment, then consider prayerfully sending a contribution to allow us to purchase this $7,500 worth of equipment that is in actuality $25,000 worth of equipment. With that, it's not just for this program. Yes, we would use it to do this program, no question, but we would also use it to do the programs of churches like Faith and Victory Church, the church where I attend, where Pastor Ed Taylor is pastor in Greensboro, North Carolina, other churches around the area would have the opportunity to use this equipment as well. Because as you know, part of the vision of Word of Faith Ministries is to showcase ministries. Okay, and so in order to do that, we need the equipment to help do that. We are to proclaim the Word of Faith, showcase ministries, and train people to fulfill the Word of God. Those are the three aspects of the vision here at Word of Faith Ministries. So I just really seriously ask you to prayerfully consider being a part of this exciting faith project. Now, we already have a little bit toward it, very little at this point, about $400 that we have toward this project that has come in supernaturally. People have given, didn't even know we had the project underway, but now I'm sharing it with you. And as the Word of God says, write the vision, make it plain. Now, the vision for this particular individual project is to get the finances to get this professional video equipment. Wow. I mean, you know, it's like T.L. Osborne says, say it backwards. Wow. This is exciting. And I tell you, I'd love for you to be a part of this. It just would be a blessing. You know that we've been doing a lot of things with speakfaith.tv and with broadcast video through our Roku channel. This takes it up to the next level, which is what we need to do. Many years ago, I heard Brother Kenneth Copeland talking about ministering in excellence, and that has been a catchphrase for me of this ministry for the longest time, is to try to do everything in the highest level of excellence that I possibly can. With the resources I have at hand, and this would give us additional resources. So that's why I'm encouraging you to consider being part of this project, praise the Lord. And if God is speaking to you about that, as I said, I'll put the address back up here on the screen. You can write us there at our regular mailing address, or you can contribute via PayPal. If you want to do it online, just go to our website, wofm.org, click on the Donate tab up at the top, and that will take you through donating online. I know it's Christmas time and a lot of you are spending for Christmas and all that, but we've got a narrow opportunity, a narrow time frame here that will allow us to purchase this equipment. And I just believe in my heart that God wants us to have this equipment to just take us up a step higher in our outreach. Praise the Lord. All right, so I just wanted to share that with you. I took a little more time than I wanted to doing that, but we'll get right into the Word. Let's go back into the Word of God in Acts chapter 9. We left off last time with Saul, who was persecuting the church. And what does this have to do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, we're going to find out. Acts 9:1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, or unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. Now, that's what they called Christianity at this time, the way, okay? It was the way of Jesus. It was the way of life and light, hallelujah. Any be found in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, think about this. This guy was serious. He was out there persecuting the church. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou the church? No, Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Jesus took it personally when Saul was persecuting his church. Hallelujah. Ooh, that's good to know, isn't it? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Saul kind of, you know, Saul's a sharp guy. He knew, man, I've been nailed. They're going to send my saddle home. See, Jesus had not come, you know, as the timid little meek Jesus that so many people picture and say, now, Saul, you've been naughty. I want you to do better. No, Jesus was coming as the glorious Lord of heaven with a sword in his hand. Hallelujah. He was going to take out this guy that was persecuting him, as far as he was concerned, because he was persecuting the precious saints of his church. And so Saul knew, this is it, okay? I need to deal with this quickly. And so he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, Saul got straight quick. He'd heard Christians preach. He knew that Jesus Christ had been preached as the only begotten Son of God who'd been raised from the dead. And now here he was seeing Jesus raised from the dead. Well, guess what? Saul said, Lord. He recognized him as Lord. He knew he was raised from the dead. What happened? He got born again. That's what happened. Let's keep reading. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Okay? So Jesus said, okay, he sheathes his sword. He says, all right, you have recognized me as Lord. You have received me as Lord. Because he said, what would you have me do? In other words, receiving lordship. And this is something I think a lot of folks miss in today's modern times. Lordship means you're in control, Lord, not me. So Saul says, what do you want me to do? You are now my Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. And so Jesus said, it's going to be shown you what you must do. All right? So then, verse 7, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. In other words, he was blind. He was struck blind by this incident. And he was 3 days without sight. And during those 3 days, he did neither eat nor drink. I mean, this guy was just, he was blown away by what happened to him. And there, now notice verse 10. Hallelujah. Whew, I love this story. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. Now, Ananias is a believer. He's not an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. He's a believer. He wasn't in any particular special ministry. He was a believer. All right, that's it. Now, that's not unimportant, okay, because the Lord used Ananias, a simple believer, to reach Paul, who at this time was Saul. And think about what Saul, who later became Paul, or called Paul, did to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Look what he did in reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all started with simple Ananias saying, here I am, Lord. In other words, Ananias as a Christian recognized Jesus' lordship over him as well. Amen? I don't want to lose that key point. All right, but let's keep going here. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him the Lord said in the vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise. Here's what I want you to do. Arise. Go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Now notice, on the other side, Jesus had given Saul a vision, who was to become Paul, saying this guy's going to come to you named Ananias. On the other side, he tells Ananias, now I want you to go to Saul. He's setting it up. He's setting up this meeting. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he's done to thy saints at Jerusalem. In other words, yikes. And he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. Well, that's who Ananias was, a believer who called on Jesus' name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. I've called him into the ministry. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Woo, hallelujah. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house where the Lord had instructed him to go, put his hands on Saul. He laid his hands on him. Now remember, Saul was already born again. He had already confessed Jesus as Lord. He had already believed that God raised him from the dead. Didn't take much faith. He saw him. And so he was born again and called Jesus Lord. So Ananias comes and lays his hands on him, and what happens? He puts his hands on him, and Ananias says, brother, brother, did you get that? Brother Saul? In other words, Saul's already born again. I can't emphasize that enough. Why? Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a second separate experience with God, separate from being born again. Saul, at this point, was already born again. We know that because Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10 says, "What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is your personal Lord, and believe that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially, and delivered from all temporal evil." Woo! Hallelujah! Amen. So Saul was born again. He's just as born again as he's ever going to be. He's just as saved as he's ever going to be. Do you see that? So Ananias calls him brother Saul. Now, I don't know about you, but if I come up to somebody and they're not a believer, I don't call them brother. That's just because the Bible tells us that we're brothers in the Lord if we're born again. Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees, "Ye are of your father, the devil." He didn't call the scribes and Pharisees his brothers. No. Whew, hallelujah. Brother Saul. So he's born again. So what does he say to his brother Saul? "The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight." Because remember, Paul was in need of healing. He lost his sight. He was blind. "That thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Woo, hallelujah. He lays his hands on him and Paul is filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, does it say here in the scripture, right here in the book of Acts, that Paul spoke in other tongues? Because I know, see, that a lot of you are saying, see there, he didn't speak in tongues. Well, now, wait a minute. He did speak in tongues. But we don't have record of it right there. Well, not at that moment do we have note of it. I personally believe that he did. But we do know that Saul, or Paul, who later became known as Paul, spoke in other tongues. How do we know that? Because of his own testimony. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's look in verse 18. He says, this is Paul speaking, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all." Ye all who? Y'all who? To be a good southerner. "More than all of the Corinthian church put together." Now, guys, the Corinthian church was a bunch of tongue talkers. Right? We know that because Saul, later to be called, at this point called Paul told them, "Guys, hold on. Everything's got to be done decently and in order. You got to use the spiritual gifts correctly, and here's how you do it." But to make his point about speaking in tongues, he said, "Look, guys, I speak in tongues more than all of you put together." So what was Paul's bottom line? If you look at the end of this chapter, chapter 14, the very end of the chapter, what does it say? It says in 1 Corinthians 14, 39, "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues." You know, there's a lot of denominational Christian seminaries and colleges. I would love to just have that emblazoned on the top of their buildings, written in stone, "Forbid not to speak with tongues." Why? Because so many of them forbid people to speak in other tongues. Now, you're going to a school to learn about the Word of God. You're going to a school to supposedly get into the ministry. And I'm not against education. Don't get me wrong. I have a PhD in theology. I have been through schooling. It took a long time and it took a lot of work. And I had to write a thesis for my master's. And I had to write a dissertation for my doctorate. And it was a lot of work. But you know what? Praise God, I went to a school that believed the Word of God was the final authority to the believer. Life Christian University. Hallelujah. And I know the founder, Dr. Wingate, personally. and I know that he stands solidly on the Word of God. Hallelujah. If he were sitting right here with me, he'd say, yes, amen, Brother Bill. I do stand solidly on the Word of God. So I appreciate the foundation that the school that I went to was founded entirely on just the pure Word of God. So when the Word of God says forbid not to speak with tongues, let me guarantee you that Life Christian University will never forbid you from speaking in tongues. Now, it will probably say exactly what Paul said here in the Scripture. Everything's got to be done decently in order. There are things about that we need to learn, which we will in future netcast as we get into this. But that's a whole other topic. Right now, I just wanted to show you Saul's experience, how he became Paul. His name was changed, because he was a whole new person when he received Jesus Christ as his Lord. And let me say this, those of you that were raised in the Christian lifestyle, you were raised in a church, your parents are Christians, don't think, well, I was born into a Christian home, therefore I'm a Christian. No, you are a Christian when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and you believe God has raised him from the dead and you confess with your mouth Jesus' lordship in your life. That's when you're a Christian. I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised on a Southern Baptist campus, orphanage campus, because my parents worked there as workers on the campus. You talk about Baptist, man. You talk about Christian raising, upbringing. I went to Vacation Bible School. I went to Fort Caswell. I went up to the mountains to various retreats. I went to Bible studies. We had Bible drills. My entire life was based around the Word of God. Hallelujah. And I appreciate that. I appreciate my heritage. I appreciate where I've come from. But I tell you what, all of that does not mean I was born again. What means I was born again was that day in 1969 when I went into my parents' room one Sunday morning when they were getting ready to go to church, and I told my dad, today I'm going to go down and shake the preacher's hand. And he kind of grinned because, you know, he knew because of the way I was raised and what I'd seen. That's what people thought they did to get born again. He said, what do you mean by go shake the preacher's hand? I said, I'm going to go down and confess Jesus today. He said, what are you going to confess? I said, I'm going to confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and I believe that God raised him from the dead. Bam! I was born again right there in my parents' bedroom. Later that day, I listened to a sermon and I shook the preacher's hand and he asked the church if I could be voted in. Too late, guys. I'm already a Christian. They meant voted into membership of the church. I understand that, but you know what I mean. So many people get ideas that are just strange. Anyway, he presents me to the church. They all raise their hand, vote me in, and I got baptized in water. Hallelujah. And that was great, and that was in obedience to the Scripture and all that. I became a member of that First Baptist Church in Denton, North Carolina. Hallelujah. But you know what? I was born again in my parents' bedroom. Because I confessed Jesus is my Lord, I believe God raised him from the dead, and I was born again right at that point. All the rest of it was just stuff that I did that was in keeping with the traditions that we had in our particular church. But man, I tell you what, I appreciate my dad saying, wait a minute, boy, what you believe? He's going to check me out. And that's exactly, remember, that's what we found out. I was talking about Ananias and substituted his name for Philip. Philip, over in Samaria, when he was preaching, you remember he was instructed by the Holy Ghost to go speak to a eunuch from Ethiopia, and that eunuch said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you mayest. And he tested him, in effect, to find out what he believed. And when he did confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, then Philip said, all right, fine, we'll take you down, we'll baptize you in water. And of course, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing, and Philip was translocated, you know, the first teleportation system, and it had nothing to do with Scotty and Star Trek. He was translocated. You say, Dr. Bill, you believe in all that supernatural stuff in the Bible? Absolutely, because the Bible is 100% the Word of God. No errors, nothing inaccurate. It is the pure, unadulterated Word of God, and you need to believe that as well. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you, I am charged today. I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm excited about our opportunity on the video stuff. I'm excited about the Word of God that we're teaching and sharing. And I'm excited about the fact that some of you out there right now are beginning to realize, you know, I need to confess Jesus as Lord. I'm not sure I've ever done that. Let's do that right now. Pray this simple prayer with me right now. Come to God and say, God, I recognize that I am a sinner. Say that right now with me. And as you say that now, follow that up with this. God, I come to you believing that Jesus Christ is Lord, is your Son, and is the one who provided the sacrifice that makes it possible for me to be born again. Now, God, I receive Jesus as my Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Now, glory to God. Now, God is your Father. Now, you have a relationship with him. You are not of your father, the devil. You've switched fathers and inheritance and lineage. And now, your Father is the Heavenly Father. You are one of the many born among many brethren. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren, but now you're in that number. Glory to God. And if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord on this netcast today, please write me at this address right here. Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina. Our zip code 27262. Join us again next time. Remember until then to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.